The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, أو you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
The audience of IRB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Ja'far Ja'far.
We began our discussion regarding the tricks of shaitan, that what are some of the tricks that we can count shaitan on playing on us. The fourth trick that shaitan plays, and I think this is something that is very common in the world that we live in, is the beautification of bad deeds. Yeah, where shaitan, now things which are haram seem very attractive to us, you know, and this is something that we know we are exposed to on a day-to-day basis, right? Like, I think, like, we should not be naive to think that just because something is haram that it's not attractive, right? Of course it's attractive, right? But it's the danger within that that causes people harm, you know? I think, you know, sometimes we've flipped it, you know? Like, we have equated, like, haram as something that is okay, like, whatever, it's just around, but something najis as being bad. You know, it's the opposite, right? Najis things are not bad, they're around, you know? But haram things are bad. But we're more comfortable being around haram things and not najis things. Like, a dog will come, will run away, yeah? A dog is not bad, yeah? There's nothing bad about a dog, it's just najis. Like, I always give, my teacher always gave this example, and it's true. Like, when my marhum father passed away, and as his body lay there before ghusl was given, that body was najis. Yeah? Does that mean my father is bad? No, it doesn't mean. Najasat does not equal bad. Yeah? Don't be afraid of dogs. Yeah? They're najis. You just can't pray with those clothes. You know what I mean? But haram things, they are bad for us. Stay away from them. Right? But we're very good at getting close to these type of haram things. And this is one of the tricks of shaitan. Shaitan seeks to beautify and make attractive things which are haram. And Allah mentions this in the Quran in Surah An-Nahl, verse number 63. He says, Tallah, he says, by Allah, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمَمٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ, that we sent messengers to nations before you. He's addressing the Prophet. He says, so we sent messengers, but what happened? فَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانَ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. Shaitan made their a'mal, their actions, attractive to them. That what they were doing, even though it was wrong, but no, it makes sense. Look, I'm making money on it. It makes sense. Look, I am getting friends with it. Look, it makes sense. I'm happy. And so our actions have become beautified. And Allah says that these are the people, فَهُوَ وَلِيُّهُمُ الْيَوْمُ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. He is now their wali. In this day, like, he is now their companion, he is now their master, and Allah says we will have a painful punishment for them. So let's look at how shaitan beautifies haram things for us, right? And there are many ways to discuss this. I want to touch upon three. Number one, by making shaitan beautifies that which is haram by making us see firsthand the advantages of that haram thing, right? And so we will see, for example, people who lie but are very successful in business. It's because they're cut corners. And so I see that, and I see that, man, this guy cheated, yet he's so successful, right? And so in my mind, there is an attraction to that, or there is a beautification of that, because I see the result of that, right? I see people who are absolutely ruthless in how they treat people, yet they are very successful in life, right? They have a lot of power, and so that beautifies that particular action for me. We see today people on social media and on different platforms do things which are against our values. I don't see lightning bolts being struck on that person. I don't see fire raining down on that person. But what I see is that that person has fame, yeah, has wealth, has advantages. And so number one way that shaitan beautifies these haram things is by making us see worldly advantages to these things. And so they become appealing to us. They're something that I want to gain. And so we always have to realize and weigh the advantages of these things versus what would happen in Akhirah, right? And that's where the belief comes in. But that's part of our responsibility. So that's one way, you know, where Shaitan makes us see the advantages of these things. And these are the only, this is like one of the main reasons why we fall victim to these things, right? The whole idea of you only live once is because I see certain benefits of these things, right? When I want to date somebody, when I want, because I see immediate benefit to these things. And so these are some of the tricks or one way in which shaitan beautifies. A second way that shaitan beautifies our actions or beautifies that which is haram is that he doesn't portray that act at the very beginning as haram or falsehood, but rather he will mix truth and falsehood together. And so it becomes a big stew. And so you can't distinguish truth and falsehood anymore, right? And Allah again talks about this, and it's a slippery slope. And we'll give some examples. But Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَلَا تَلْبِسُ الْحَقِّ بِالْبَاطِلِ. Do not mix truth and falsehood together, right? So, but I'm doing this, but I'm doing this too, yeah? Like, this will even it out. Or what's the big deal? I did this small thing, but I'm doing so much khairat, right? It's like that idea that if I play the lotto, and if I were to win, I would donate 3/4 of it, right? Like, the act itself was haram. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter what you donate after that. The act itself was haram, right? And so there is whatever good you decide to do after that does not negate the haram. And Allah cautions us of this, right? وَلَا تَلْبِسُ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَتَكْتُمُ الْحَقِّ. And do not conceal the truth وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. While you know it's the truth. Don't hide these things. There's a truth and a falsehood. And there are so many examples of this, right? Of how something good, because we were not careful, led to falsehood. And led to a slippery slope of being problematic. And you know, like, we start with a basic example, right? Like, when you're in school and you have a partner you're assigned to who is non-mahram and you have a project, right? On that base front, there's nothing wrong, right? We're not saying don't partner up. This is what you've been assigned. This is what you have to do. But if we are not careful, that act, which in itself is non-problematic, can become extremely problematic, right? So number one, we have to exchange phone numbers because we have to do an assignment, right? Number two, I will text you to see when are we meeting up for this assignment. Then the next step could just very well be after that, if I am not in control, hey, how was your weekend? Boom, very innocent, isn't it? But now that truth and falsehood is becoming meshed together, right? Now the step after that, at school, we hang out and have lunch together. And now it doesn't end at school. We might go watch a movie. Man, this is how it happens, right? This is exactly how it happens, right? That innocent friendship started and now it's turned into something highly problematic. Why? Because this is how shaitan works, yeah? If in that act of halal, we are not careful, yeah? Because sometimes I think when we enter into a act that's halal, we let our guards down and say, bas, I'm doing something halal. Baba, that's where shaitan attacks. So that the next step after that would become problematic. This happens in my work field, right? Like I have a job, I seek a promotion because I want a raise and I get a promotion. And then after that I may get another promotion. But eventually there will come a time without fail in this corporate world where you will have to take certain clients out for certain meals and they will drink. Yeah? What do you do at that point, right? You have to pay the credit card bill. Right? I've had so many people tell me, you know, I'm the manager, I go out, I don't drink, but I have that credit card. Baba, it's not allowed. Yeah, it's not allowed. Does that mean that we can't get ahead in dunya? So what? We can't get ahead in dunya. Yeah? All of you all should become resident alims. You know, life is easier on this side in that way, because what you go through And what I did, I went through it, right? Because before I joined this, I used to work in the corporate world. Not easy. The challenges there are different, right? But it's a slippery slope because my goal was to do something halal, to get income, to get money, to work. That's what Allah wants us to do. But there will come a time when I will be forced to make a decision that where do I draw the line after this? And that's something that Shaitan's just waiting for us to have that moral dilemma, right? And to see which side we pick.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه